Well, as God's people, we are called to be a thankful people, and we're called to be a holy people. A thankful people and a holy people. Because I want you to picture in your mind's eye what we have just read. What we just read is a picture of God's people gathering from across the region. And then when they have been gathered, we read that the priests and the Levites purify the people, the gates and the wall of the city, probably using water. Then there are two thanksgiving choirs which are set up in verse 31. And both those thanksgiving choirs go up onto the walls of Jerusalem and go around the walls of Jerusalem in different directions and meet at the temple in verse 40. And when they are there in the temple, in verse 42, we read that they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced to the extent that their joy was heard afar off. I want you, if you can, to picture that in your mind's eye. Now, what does this all mean? What does it mean when we think about these things, the people walking on the walls and so on and meeting at the temple? Well, think about where we are in the history of the church. We have almost come to the end of the book of Nehemiah. If you are to put together Ezra and Nehemiah as one book, then almost 100 years have passed since the people had left Babylon. You can read about that at the beginning of the book of Ezra, which we've been going through. And if you were to sum up that period of roughly 100 years, you would have to say it was a period of God's protecting his people and providing for his people as they sought to worship him. If you were to sum up that period, it would be a period of time where God protected his people and provided for his people as they sought to worship him. Because we need to remember that the worship of God was their priority. When they left Babylon, their priority was not to rebuild the city walls. That came later. Their priority was to rebuild the temple. That was their priority. That was the first thing they did when they came back from Babylon. And the reason why they did that was because the worship of God was their priority as a people. But if you look over that 100 years or so, we cannot help but notice that as they sought to worship God in the temple, that opposition followed them, didn't it? There are a number of instances where the people of God faced opposition as they sought to worship God. So as they were rebuilding the temple, you remember, there were these adversaries in Ezra. And so on, as Nehemiah built the wall with his people, there were people like Sambalat who came up against them. There was always opposition as they sought to do the right thing that God was calling them to. But each time, God protected them. And this explains, I think, what is going on in this chapter. Because in this chapter, the people of God are thanking him. They're thanking him. We read about thanksgiving choirs and going up into the temple and offering sacrifices with great joy. They're thanking him. Why? Well, because of his protection and provision across that 100 years and more. But also, alongside that, and relatedly, in fact, they are dedicating themselves to God. They are dedicating themselves to God. We might think that they're dedicating the city at this time. The heading in your Bible may not help you there. They're dedicating the wall. They are doing that. But in one verse, it tells you that as they're also purifying the city, that it may be a holy city. The people themselves are also purified. And so I want to look at this chapter in a number of points, just to a thankful people and then a dedicated people. First, we see that the people back then were showing themselves to be a thankful people. We read in verse 27 that there were thanksgiving, and in verse 31 we read of these thanksgiving choirs. The people were thanksgiving. They were giving thanks. Why? Why were they so thankful? Well, because of the faithfulness of God. They were singing with thanksgiving because of His faithfulness. The backdrop to this chapter is one of many years of God providing for His people and of protecting them. For many years, the people had experienced God's faithful provision for them. And they had experienced God's faithful protection of them. If you think about it, from the moment they set out from Babylon up until this day, in this chapter, they could easily say with the hymn writer, "Lord, for the years, your love has kept and guided, urged us, inspired us, cheered us on our way, sought us and saved us, pardoned and provided. Lord, for the years, we bring our thanks today." That is what they were doing. They were bringing their thanksgiving for the Lord's provision and protection. Think about the way in which He provided for them all those years. Remember when they first set out from Babylon, King Cyrus, no less, Persian King Cyrus, issued a decree that everything would be given for the building of the temple. And together with that, if you look closely at the chapter, not just the provision for the temple, but along with that, they were given gold and silver for their own purposes and livestock. Read about that in Ezra chapter 1. God was providing for His people as they set out to worship Him. And then in Ezra chapter 6, remember how King Darius issued another decree that the building of the temple be at the king's expense. God is providing for His people abundantly. And in that decree, it says that whatever they need in inverted commas, make sure it is given to them. God was ensuring that His people were provided for across this time. We can tell this because in the book of Haggai, which is a contemporary of Ezra and Nehemiah, they were so blessed materially by God that they were able to build paneled houses. Do you remember that? And we'll come to that in a moment. That is the extent in which God provided for His people out there in the wilderness. Now, there were times when the people had to endure hardship. I'm not getting away from that. We've read about them over the last year or so. God caused their crops to be blighted because they were more obsessed at that time with their wood-paneled houses than the worship of God. But even still, when they repented, God turned and blessed them again and again. And in the book of Nehemiah, there was this issue of oppression, if you remember that. And yet what happened? God turned that situation and it was put right in the end. These things were only temporary. And so as the people thought about these things, as they came to this day of dedication, they were thinking about the many, many ways in which God had provided for them. And they're also coming to give their thanks for His protection. Because think about how God had protected them over the years. And as they walked on the literal wall, they would have been reminded of at least two things. One, when God had protected them whilst they were building that very wall. By the way, walking on the wall is not that little wall out there. It's possibly 15 feet wide, if you're wondering how they could walk on the wall. But as they walked on the wall, They would have been reminded of that time not that long ago. I think it's Nehemiah chapter 3 where they were rebuilding the wall. And during that time, God had protected them. And so as they're walking over this wall, their memories would have been triggered of that time when they faced significant opposition and yet God protected them when the wall was half built. You remember that? In chapter 4 and 6, this man Sambalat, who was a thorn in the side of the people, came up time and time again to try and overthrow the city. And what happened? God protected them each time. And the people would have remembered that as they walked over the very same wall that they had been prospered to build. But the second thing they would have remembered as they walked over that wall, perhaps more importantly, perhaps, was at the time when the wall was not there or in ruins. And God still protected them at that time. Many years ago, remember, they prioritized the worship of God and the rebuilding of the temple, leaving themselves vulnerable to attack because the walls were in ruins. And God then showed himself to be a God who protected them. That as the adversaries who came up to oppose the work in Ezra chapter 4, you remember that? And there was no city walls to speak of to protect them. God showed himself to be a mighty fortress to them. So as they walked over that wall, they literally would have been thinking about these things, I believe anyway. That God had protected them when there was a wall and they were rebuilding it. Or there was part of a wall and they were rebuilding it. But also when there was no wall, God was protecting them. And so this occasion here in chapter 12 of Nehemiah, the people were remembering these things as they walked on the walls. And this would explain, at least in part, why their praise was heard afar off. As they're gathering together their thoughts about God, how he has provided for them and protected them, there in the temple, it says that their joy was so loud, their praise was so loud that it could be heard afar off. Why were they praising God? Verse 43, because it says God had made them rejoice with great joy. God had made them rejoice with great joy. There were many things that they could think of about God, and that made them rejoice to the extent of being heard afar off. And so, because of these things, the people showed themselves to be a thankful people. And relatedly, secondly, they showed themselves to be a dedicated people. Because before the people came together in the house of God to thank him for what he had done, did you notice that they were dedicating themselves to the Lord? Because if you look at verse 30, you will notice that the Levites purified themselves, they purified the people and the gates and the wall. You must not think that they were simply purifying, dedicating the bricks and mortar. They were doing that so that it would be a holy city. But they were also dedicating themselves to the Lord. Now, to dedicate means to set apart. And it was done at the beginning of something or someone, that when they were being set aside for a special purpose. Dedication perhaps is not that familiar to us, but it would have been to the Israelites back then. Because the Israelites would dedicate certain things and certain people. So for instance, we read in Numbers chapter 7 that the tabernacle was dedicated to the Lord, a thing. It was dedicated to the Lord. Tabernacle was the tent where God dwelt with his people in the Old Testament before the temple. We see that the temple itself was dedicated by Solomon in 1 Kings 8. Certain things were dedicated to the Lord for a special purpose in its inauguration, its beginning. And certain people were even dedicated to the Lord. If you think of Samuel, he was dedicated to the Lord for a special purpose. And here, the people of God at that time in Nehemiah chapter 12 are dedicating the city to the Lord. They were setting it apart as the holy city, as we thought about last week. If you look at chapter 11, it talks about the Jerusalem being the holy city twice, I think. At least twice, maybe more. And they were setting it aside as the holy city. But it wasn't just the bricks and mortar that they were setting aside as holy. They were putting themselves forward as people dedicated to the Lord for a special purpose. Because the walls were not simply purified, but they themselves were purified by the priests and Levites. Now remember, we are in this section of Nehemiah where the people are showing themselves serious in their desire to honor God. If you look at chapter 8 onwards in the book of Nehemiah, the people have been gathering together as one man to basically reform their lives in accordance with the word of God. You remember that? We looked at it probably a few months ago. They were seeking to do what was right. They were seeking to dedicate themselves to the Lord, to conform their lives to His word. And here they are doing it again in a very public way, dedicating the holy city, the bricks and mortars, to be used as something in God's hands. But they themselves were putting themselves forward to be used and to be a holy people for God's service, to be those living sacrifices unto God. And as we move to further application, I want us to learn certain things from those people back then. First of all, the grace of remembering. The grace of remembering. It is important to remember what God has done for us. We are prone to forget, aren't we? Prone to forget the ways in which God has provided for us, protected us in so many other ways. And sometimes, as it were, we need to walk over the walls of our lives, just as those people walked over the walls and they remembered past helps that the Lord had given them. Secondly, and relatedly, we need to continually thank the Lord. We are to be a thankful people. Psalm 100 calls on us to enter His courts with thanksgiving and with joy. There are times when it is good to raise our Ebenezer. I don't know if you know that expression. We sing it with gusto in one of our favorite hymns, perhaps. But there are times when we have to raise our Ebenezer. That is taken from a time when Samuel defeated the Philistines in a great victory. And he thought it was so significant that he got a stone and called it Ebenezer. Here I raise my Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. I'm not saying we have to literally dig up a stone from the garden and do that kind of thing. But there should be times, regular times, when we say, here I raise my Ebenezer, saying, thus far the Lord has helped us. And we're to do it with gladness, thirdly. This is the theme of the people back then, wasn't it? Look at verse 43. How many times the word rejoice or joy comes up? Verse 43. On that day they offered great sacrifices and rejoiced, for the Lord had made them rejoice with great joy. The women and children also rejoiced, so that the joy of Jerusalem was heard afar off. How many times that word joy, rejoice comes up? These are people who should be rejoicing, thankful, yes, but not robotic and cold in our thanksgiving, but joy swelling up within us as we think about what the Lord has done for His people. We are to be like the psalmist in Psalm 92. For you, the Lord, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the works of your hands. The Apostle Paul wrote this from prison in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. So let us pray that God would make us a joyful people. We cannot manufacture these things ourselves, but only by dwelling more and more upon Him and His ways, we pray by God's grace, we will become more of a joyful people. And finally, pray that God would make us a people that are dedicated to Him. We are those people who are set aside as holy for His purposes. The Bible says we are not our own. We are bought at a price. And the Bible says that we are to be holy as He is holy. If you're wondering what I was going to preach this morning instead of what I did, it was that in 1 Peter. You are to be holy as God is holy. This is our calling as God's people. So may we be a thankful people like these people of God back then were clearly swelling up into rejoicing. And relatedly, may we be a holy people that are dedicated, set apart for His purposes, and that we would fulfill the calling that He has called us to do, to be a holy people set apart for His purposes. Well, let us sing in response.